Okay, first speaker will be, Jennifer Heggie, and then Myrna, followed by, Jennifer has two cards here.
One's for the end.
Okay. Do you want to just do them both together?
General comment.
One of them is general comment, I see it, I'm sorry. All right, Jennifer, you go first.
So Jennifer from Sunnyside. Thank you for those photographs. Is this on? Yes. Most of the diagrams and photos show smaller buildings than what are actually being considered, and it would be easier to visualize this when we see what's realistic, what's really going to happen. This was the only thing that was at the larger scale. So that would be helpful if at the next meeting or one of these meetings we could have sketches and more visuals so that we really understand what this means. And we also talked about, I wanted to follow up on the question about environmental leadership. I understand that you received this award. Have you looked into electric batteries to reduce greenhouse gases? And is that going to happen? And also, what about all electric appliances? Because that will certainly reduce greenhouse gases. So we're interested in finding out more about that. And also about electric vehicle charging spaces. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to limit everybody to 2 minutes. I forgot to mention that. Myrna, is it Milgar?
Milgar?
Myrna Milgar.
Hi. So I'm Myrna Milgar. I was the president of the Planning Commission when the environmental came in front of us, and I'm going to ask the same question that I asked then. I think it's for Lee. I think this is, a good project. I'm happy the way that it's shaping up. And my biggest set of questions is about transportation. Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about how in the development agreement, the PUC, everyone who's going to have infrastructure investments, is going to spell it out. And I'm still, really fuzzy about what we're getting from the MTA. Because I'm afraid that adding this level of density without mitigations, it's going to make this not a great place to be for those of us who live here. And so I'm specifically worried about Plymouth because it's a street that's very narrow and on the downslope. And already we have Uber and Lyft drivers coming through. And so adding, not being thoughtful about how traffic exits on that way onto Plymouth worries me. And then obviously, the K and every morning, it's a hot mess from the BART station, the Muni, cutting across City College to Lake Wilmerding. So I just, I still haven't heard what I'm looking for in terms of the MTA, what they're bringing. And I'm not looking for undergrounding the K because I think that, that's a lot. But I think there's mitigations that can be done with some infrastructure investment, and I would really like to hear those.
Should we answer these questions as they come up, or?
Okay. We can, you guys can ask follow-ups.
Okay, all right.
All right,
we'll follow up on these things later. But there will be a meeting about transportation solely eventually. I'm trying to read this other one. I see Theodore Randolph.
Hello, I'm Theodore Randolph, and
Sorry. 2 seconds.
So my concern was about the 33% developer funded, because the when we started this project, we were told that there's no city funding and the 50% affordable would be the best that we could do. So now that it appears that there is city funding, it seemed to me that the intent of the committee making the parameters was that we would go above the 50% affordable. So if the 33% developer funded will make the affordable portion happen faster, I'm all for it. But I'm sort of curious about how does it fit in with the parameters and with our intent for more affordability.
Christopher Peterson.
My question question relates to the public parking garage components of the project. I've never understood how it is going to be paid for. Is it something that the developer will be subsidizing? Is it something that the users, people who park there, will be paying for? Will there be public subsidies? Will there be some combination of all three of those? If it's anything other than being paid for entirely by the users, I'm really concerned about how that is essentially subsidizing car use, worsening the traffic concerns of the UNT greenhouse gas emissions associated with the project. And just more generally, I hope that the size of the public parking garage can be minimized, if not entirely. Thank you.
Okay. I'm still not sure how we're going to answer all these questions as they come up, but we'll figure it out. Madeline has two cards here, one about parking issues and one about the TDM.
I wrote those at the beginning of the meeting and then subsequently had lots of things, but mostly I think I'll just put it down to a cautionary tale. I've been on the facilities committee at the college for decades. It's supposed to be the conduit committee. It's quartite. It goes through the board, through various things up to the board. I go to all the board meetings. I don't know what you guys are talking about when you say you've talked to City College. You've not been on our agenda. What you show up there has nothing to do with our master planning at this point. There's got to be more coordination. So this is a cautionary. Be aware that you've got to get into real conversation with the real college, because you haven't been. And then be careful when you talk about power, extra power, extra lights. You have Reardon High School, you have the college. I'm a musician. Sound is important, and you have to have a relatively quiet environment for education, for thinking. So be very, very careful. We've always been careful not to have too much light into the neighborhood, but the sound is what I really worry about. And also in childcare, the entire half of this building, three floors up, is all devoted really to childcare. And where is that conversation? There should be a synergy here going on. So you've got to talk to the real people from now on. You just have to.
Michael Fleming.
Yeah, I was hoping to get some more clarity on how the open space structures, both the design and building, as well as the maintenance, was going to be funded, how that funding level would be decided. We talked a little bit how the building owners would fund the things like the operations of the common areas. Would that include both the central park area and also the PUC easement, or are they would the maintenance for those be done separately?
Okay. Monica Collins.
It's really heady to get carried away with beautiful plans, and I know nobody is promising us the moon, and I know we all want to believe we're going to get the moon anyway, because it's human nature. I understand that at Mission Bay they were promised 25 schools and that none were built, so I wouldn't get too carried away. I don't like the idea of teacher housing. First of all, students with issues know where you live. Secondly, benefits accrue to newer, younger teachers, faculty with no tenure, but we have elders who are teachers with no tenure. They're looking at retirement and they have to feather their nest. Instead, they're worried about layoffs. 2 months ago, we had huge layoffs at City College. They were precipitous. They happened at Thanksgiving time, I think, and people have to watch what they say so they don't offend the powers that be, you know? So it's not really fair. If you want to give teachers the benefit, please give them raises, benefits. Also, property values go up a lot And do you really save that fast? Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen Marzo, I believe it is. Steve?
Hi, my name is Steve. I live across the street at 117 Ocean Avenue. And I have been a renter my whole life, and I realize that meetings like this, you generally hear from homeowners. And it's really important to me that we think of all the renters who are struggling to make ends meet. And this kind of project would do a huge benefit to this community. And the public spaces would be amazing, so I strongly support this project.
Thank you. Chris Hansen has two cards. I guess they're both general comment.
One's specific to the presentation.
Okay.
I didn't see it. Did the presentation have a slide showing specific auto access routes? There were specific bike routes and specific pedestrian routes, but I didn't see specific finalized auto access in the presentation. And it said that City College has first call on the housing for teachers, but with the classes that were just cut, a lot of teachers did lose their jobs and their benefits. How would something like that happen? How would something like that affect somebody who might be in teacher housing, lose their job, and wind up driving for Uber, even if they can make their rent, but they're no longer a teacher? There was also a parking structure that showed up on one of your slides, as far as I know, that has not been on any of the recent City College planning for reasons of funding, as far as I know. And when is the presentation going to be posted online? Thank you.
Lee is furiously taking notes. So, Chris Hansen, and... I guess Jennifer had something about SER clarifications and requests.
Do we want to...
Oh, that's the general thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we try and answer some of these questions that Lee's been keeping notes on. Here.
Sure.
I'm sorry? Are you Tomasita? Oh, that's... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah, here, have a microphone.
They'll bring you the microphone.
Thank you. About the parking spaces, how many parking spaces are there for students and faculties at CCSF since this project would be taking away parking that is used by the students and faculties at CCSF, and parking needs to be affordable for students. At previous presentations, they've said that they've come up. It has seemed like some sort of a pipe dream that the parking that was for the residents of the project would be that all these people would leave in the daytime, and then that parking would be the parking for the students. But that's not really realistic because if we're near BART, the people who will be living in here will presumably take BART to go to work downtown, and of course people have children and people. Stay home and people work from home, so there's no guarantee that the parking spaces that are used by the residents of the project would be available to the students. So I was hopeful in the sense that you did show four buildings that had potential, and you did say you have the potential for hundreds of parking spaces. But we have to remember that City College, and nobody ever talks about how is this going to impact City College. And City College is the gateway to financial independence for millions of people who have gone through it over the years. All of our firefighters, technicians, there's engineers, musicians. We're known for the arts, and people learn how to be musicians and actors and dancers here. And so this is the heart of San Francisco, is people learn how to be professional and lift their incomes and lift their whole life. That's why I'm here, because that's what happened for me. My life was transformed by what I learned at City College. And so I want those opportunities to be available to students of future generations. And if you take away their access, then that will crush the college. So you need to guarantee that every space that is taken away is replaced by underground parking in the buildings that you mentioned, and that it be affordable to the students. Thank you.
Anybody else have a card to bring up? Okay. Seeing none, we'll try and answer some of these questions.
Sure.
You got all the answers?
I strive to have all the answers. So I won't go point by point through every speaker, but I have been taking notes, and there were a number of comments that I think will actually be addressed at our subsequent meeting. So, you know, Jennifer requested to see real heights and renderings of buildings. There was a question about, by Michael, open space design, how that's going to work in terms of funding, how it's going to be operated. Our next meeting, which is actually going to be next month, will go into very great detail into the design and the physical environment for the project. So a lot of these topics will be covered, I believe it's March 9th, our next meeting. And I think we can consider, I'm totally extemporaneous right here, but we can consider a different type of format for that meeting. If folks really want to engage, we could try to have some sort of open discussion rather than just a presentation. But it sounds like people are really interested in learning more about the real details of what the physical site is going to look like. So we'll put some thought into maybe having a slightly different format so people can ask specific questions and get answers from the design team while they're here. back to some of the other questions that were raised. Transportation. We know that this is a critical piece that we have to solve for this project. There are a number of things that the city has been identifying, and MTA has been really a leader. We've pushed them to participate, to listen to what the community has to say, and also to kind of come up with solutions. So you will see, I think, when the final EIR is brought forth and published, there will be a number of mitigations that will address some of the K-line delays and potential other transit impacts. And so the mitigation that the developer will be required to do is something that they'll commit to as part of the approvals. On top of that, the developer will owe about $10 or $11 million in transportation sustainability fees, which is a citywide fee assessed on all new development. This developer will be paying that fee, and we are trying to be creative in working with MTA to identify and perhaps use some of those funds to accelerate projects that are already in the MTA's conceptual pipeline, but that we've heard from the community they want now. So, for example, the Ocean Avenue Safety Project that's going to enhance pedestrian safety at Ocean and Geneva, some improvements around the whole perimeter of the site. How can this project's required transportation fees actually accelerate those projects so that we're not waiting until, you know, the project is fully built out? We actually can accelerate some of those. So we are putting together that package, and we will come back in a subsequent meeting to talk in more detail about those commitments. There was a question about the public parking garage. How will it be paid for? It is a requirement that the developer, as part of their public benefit package, they will be required to fund this public parking and the replacement garage. I just want to not miss any notes here. I think that was it. I know, Chris, you asked about auto routes. I will make sure, again, at next month's meeting, we have sort of a circulation plan that we're ready to talk about that and how we're designing the site. So I think I'll leave it there. I'll turn it back to John.
Leafly?
Yes.
Somebody asked when the PDF of this.
Oh, thank you. Yes, when the presentation will be posted. I will ask the planning department's webmaster to post it tomorrow, so I can't promise it'll go up tomorrow, but I'll make sure to put in the request. Thank you.
Okay. I guess we're moving on to general public comment at this point. And I think I have a card from Jennifer, and who was the other person?
Was it Chris?
Chris Hansen.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Sunnyside. So most of these comments are regarding the SEIR, because there are a lot of things that I just looked at some of the draft responses to comments, and I'm very concerned that they appear to be inadequate. And so I'm just going to mention a couple of issues that I would like to see addressed. Is the City College track and football field within 500 feet of the 280 freeway? If so, was that location or the soccer field next to it checked for APES or excessive air pollution? Number two, please note that Lick-Wilmerdine High School paid for part of the City College playing fields in exchange for use of the fields and track for high school student physical activities. Lick-Wilmerdine High School students and athletes should be included in the analysis of sensitive receptors, whether or not the City College site is considered an APES site, because there are sensitive receptors at that site. Parts of Sunnyside exist within 500 feet of the 280 freeway. Was the southeast side of Sunnyside evaluated for cumulative air quality impacts of the development? Oh, sorry. I actually wrote this down, too, so I can give this to you.
Well.
Okay, but I'll slow down.
I have to write what you're saying.
So where do you want me to back up? Or?
Just the last sentence.
Okay, I said parts of Sunnyside exist within 500 feet of the 280 freeway. Was the southeast side of Sunnyside evaluated for cumulative air quality impacts of the development, the freeway, nearby streets, and the Eastern City College parking lot? If not, why did the planning department not evaluate this location? And why was a 24-hour, and I remember this from my initial comments, why was a 24-hour noise monitoring study not implemented for Reardon High School? As I wrote in my comments, only short-term sound assessments were made for Reardon High School, which is also a boarding school, and that testing was for a short period, less than half an hour before 9:30 a.m. Reardon is one of the most adversely impacted sensitive receptors closest to the site. It's disturbing if the planning department couldn't even do a 24-hour monitoring test, although it managed to do such tests at distances further away. It's significant that although planning department responses to comments acknowledge that those doing strenuous athletics are at risk, greater risk, from taking in greater amounts of air pollutants, I'll talk later.
You can submit that for the record.
Yeah, she did. Yes. Appreciate it.
Stephen. Oh, Christina.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chris Hansen. So I'm reading from AB 900. The thing that was just granted to this project, the special consideration that was submitted, that as far as I know, I know I didn't hear about that submission until we got the SEIR. AB 900 says the public may submit comments on the application electronically to the governor's office of planning and research, blah, blah, blah. So we had tonight a bunch of different meetings, a bunch of different benchmarks that are going to come. This meeting didn't hear about the AB 900, and my comments are in their administrative record. I never got to comment on their application for AB 900. No one on this committee, as far as I know, did. And I think that would be a very good thing for this committee to point out to in your report or whatever. It needs to be noted. Because this thing was out there, and nobody told us about it, and we were coming to these meetings in good faith. And I guess that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Stephen Martin Pinto, please.
Good evening, Steve Martin Pinto, Secretary West of the Peak Central Council. Just want to make sure that the board is aware of Mercy High School closing and how that's going to be affecting Reardon High School. Currently, Reardon has about 700 students, but with the closing of Mercy, I think about 400 of those students are going to come to Reardon, so it's going to bring the total enrollment to about 1,100 or 1,200, so that should be a factor that's taken into consideration. Thanks.
I didn't know that. Monica Collins.
I'm
want to thank my old chum, Stephen, for stealing my thunder. I was going to talk about the Mercy Girls. I say girls, well, they're pretty much all under 18. A lot of them are very tiny. They come from families that were originally based overseas, and a lot of them weigh barely 90 pounds. They're just very small. So when you're dealing with young people who are built almost like children, they're so small and delicate. I know my best friend, when I went to Mercy, was a big, tall, healthy woman, 5'8". But a lot of these young women are very tiny, and they will be going to Reardon. And my brother also went to Archbishop Reardon. And again, your typical young man is at least 5'7", 130, 140 pounds. These young women are just dinky. I wonder if their parents have a clue what they're in for. Thank you.
Any more public comment, general comment?
Do we have any general comments from us yet that we could share?
Would you like to make a general comment?
I do have one.
Please be my guest.
I know this isn't on the agenda tonight, but it comes under the broad category of public benefit. And, you know, the more you look at it, the more you realize that the only way that this is ever going to work is if we get out of our cars and start using our public transit. And I'm walking up from BART station tonight. I say this every meeting, and I just hope it sinks in somewhere. You walk across the street to Lake Weirden, and that's a nice walkway. It's well lit, it's landscaped, it's wide enough, it's comforting. You know, you feel like you can walk there at night. Go a little bit beyond that, it's a spooky affair. And I'm just wondering when or who will be responsible for coming and telling us what's going to be done to address and create a more comfortable, safe walking environment for a regional transportation station. And I hope that's coming up in the future at some time. There are sidewalk eaves, there's landscaping and overhanging branches that come down to about 4 feet, and it's just not something you want to walk through in the evening. And if we're ever going to get out of our cars, we have to make our sidewalks comfortable and safe. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I sure would like to see some of these excellent minds at the city tell us how this is going to be integrated into a comprehensive package that links this area to that area down there a quarter mile away. Thanks.
Any more general comment from the committee? Okay, I just want to make some announcements. We will have meetings every month for the next few months. First Monday of the month every month. This is February. There'll be one in March that we will talk about possible CAC extension past the sunset, and perhaps design guidelines. In April, we'll be talking about transportation, and hopefully Ocean Avenue, and the TSP funds, the shuttle, which comes and goes, and traffic in general. This is all just penciled in for now. The committee, as I said last month, is supposed to sunset in May. However, we're going to keep it alive at least until entitlement, as it is now, staffed the way it is. We're looking at, hopefully, I see Jen paying particular attention. We'd like to try and figure out a way to do some kind of scaled-down version that can be staffed a little more lightly than it is now, something a little more affordable and less intense for the for staff. But to go on into the past the entitlement, so that we can have a say in things like what materials and design and things that, and as things come up, new buildings that are designed and want to have some avenue for the community to have a channel to the developers and to the city. So that's something that's in the future. But we will stay as we are now until entitlement happens, whenever that is. Anything else that I'm forgetting?
Okay, Christina. I just want to let folks know I'm going on maternity leave, so you won't see me for a while. So I'll figure out if it will continue, and I would love to come back, but I will be gone on maternity leave.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations. So can I get a, we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
And we have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Go get some pork buns. That was kind of a fun meeting.
Well-run meeting.
Yes,
thank you,
it was clean.
My ambitious timing on the agenda is never quite met.